Next month marks 50 years since the death of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. All month long, the APR News team has been examining Dr. King's work in Alabama and his impact here. The civil rights leader inspired his supporters with his letter from the Birmingham jail and by leading voting rights marches across the Edmund Pettus Bridge in Selma. APR's Pat Duggins talked with one witness of Dr. King's earliest work in the civil rights movement and the place where the two men first met.
There are people whose work in the civil rights movement began at the side of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join me with the warmest of a welcome for Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr.
Everybody is somebody. Stop the violence. Save the children.
The Reverend Jesse Jackson visited the campus of the University of Alabama to speak to a student group. He was a member of King's staff when the civil rights leader was assassinated 50 years ago.
Say, I am somebody. I am somebody.
Others got to know King in their own way.
He was more concerned about his mustache than he was his haircut. He liked his mustache to be up off the lip like a butterfly. He would tell me, he said, make him like a butterfly this time.
Nelson Malden is 84 years old. He's retired now and still lives in Montgomery, but he made his living as a barber since he was 14.
Well, Richard's man,
get on TV.
Got your picture. I sort of make sure that's him. That's him right here.
Malden sold the barber shop he and his brother ran years ago, but that doesn't keep him from dropping by and picking up a trimmer when he's needed. Malden recalls one day back in 1953 when a new customer walked in.
When I finished cutting his hair, I gave him the mirror to say he liked his haircut. So he told me pretty good. So when you tell a barber pretty good, that was an insult.
That new customer was Martin Luther King Jr.
When I first started cutting his hair, I had no idea that I'd be cutting one of the most historical person of this 20th century.
King became a regular in Malden's barber chair in 1953. Within 2 years, he was making waves in the civil rights movement.
For a number of years, the Negro passengers on the city bus lines of Montgomery have been humiliated, intimidated, and faced threats.
King helped organize the Montgomery bus boycott following the arrest of Rosa Parks. She was jailed for refusing to give up her seat to a white man.
Mrs. Rosa Parks was arrested and taken down to jail, taken from the bus, just because she refused to give up her seat.
Oh, yeah, well, you could tell, because the first day the boycott started, we was in the barbershop, and one of the customers said, heck on the bus.
Nelson Malden and his customers got a front row seat to this moment in civil rights history.
And we all ran to the window to see there was a black man standing on the corner across the street from the barbershop. And we looked, and we couldn't see where the man got on the knob. So when the bus pulled off, the man was still standing. We said, oh, Lord, it worked. We thought Joe Lewis had knocked out Max Miller.
90% at least of the regular Negro bus passengers are staying off the buses, and we plan to continue until something is done.
Having a nationally known civil rights leader as a customer did include the occasional drawback. King was also head pastor at Dexter Avenue Baptist Church, where Malden worshiped. Malden says one night he and his boss at that time really wanted the fried chicken from a certain restaurant, so they ordered takeout from the side door. Blacks weren't allowed in the front door.
And so this particular Friday night, we were standing on the sidewalk, and I looked up the street, and I said, hey, Warren, I said, that looked like Reverend King's car coming. He said, sure is.
That presented a problem because of a message King had just delivered from the pulpit at Dexter.
We should stop going to the back doors or the white restaurants. He said, you dehumanize yourself. For doing that, he caught us at his white restaurant going to the side door. We couldn't go in the front door.
Malden's boss had just placed his order, which left him with a tough decision to make.
So he had to make up his mind in a split second whether he was going to go back and get the chicken or whether he was going to be embarrassed. So he went back and got the chicken.
King watched the whole episode play out and then slowly drove off. Malden says the next time King came in for a haircut, it was a little tense.
So when he got in the chair, he says, how about the chicken? I said, how do you know that was chicken? He said, some of my members gave me some one time and sure was good. I said, you better stop eating no white folk food, it can make you sick. He said, I see you pretty healthy.
I'm retired and I got a wedding tomorrow in Dothan.
Yeah. For close to a decade, King would be a regular at Malden's barbershop, and not just for a haircut. The civil rights icon would just sit off by himself to read or work on his latest speech or sermon. Scribbled thoughts that King didn't like were wadded up and tossed into a nearby trash can. One of Malden's biggest regrets is that he didn't keep any of those notes.
If I had sense enough at that time, know you can be that famous, if I'd have kept some of them notes, I would probably have been able to buy me a Porsche.
Well, in 64, I remember we had the kids from Alabama State.
Even after King left Montgomery in 1960, he would drop by for an occasional trim. His last haircut with Malden was just a few months before his trip to Memphis on April 4th, 1968.
From the WCTO Radio News Bulletin, this bulletin just in, Dr. Martin Luther King was shot outside a Memphis hotel this afternoon. His condition was not immediately known. Once again, Dr. Martin Luther King was shot outside a Memphis hotel this afternoon. His condition was not immediately known.
The news broke while Malden was giving Richmond Smiley a haircut. He was a deacon at Dexter Avenue Baptist Church, just a few blocks from the barber shop.
And that afternoon, the telephone rang, and Richmond Smiley's wife says, "Is Richmond there?" I said, "He's in the chair." So tell the Reverend King been killed. And he leaned forward to fall out of the chair, and I grabbed his head, and I put a cold towel to it and brought him back until he got himself calmed down.
Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now.
The last Sunday he preached in Memphis, he had been to the mountaintop. He looked over, so it didn't shock me too much that he was going to get killed.
And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you.
This Holt Street pastor, the church where Reverend King gave his face. He's the pastor now where Reverend King gave his face, his acceptance speech for the becoming
president of the Montgomery. A picture of Dr. King remains on Malden's barbershop wall, where he once relied on one man to get his mustache just right. Pat Duggins, APR News, in Montgomery.
This is Judge Myron Thomas, the first black judge appointed by Jimmy Carter. He's the first black in Montgomery. Of course, that's...